What a handsome crew here. Yes. All right, I've got a question for you. Do you know what the title of today's sermon is called? Yeah, it's up there. You can look. Game changer. Yes, game changer. So I want to ask you, what kind of games do you like? And I'm counting on you saying one. Leah?
Trouble.
Trouble? That's a fun game. Yes. You're thinking? Keep thinking. I'll come back to you. Video games. I'll get more specific here in a minute. What you got? Say what? Pillow fight on the bed's a good one. What you got, Josh?
Football.
Fortnite. Okay, that's it. That's the one I was looking for. What is yours?
Mario
Go Kart. Mario Go Kart. Fantastic. What's your? Roblox. Do you remember? You don't know how to explain it because it's such an awesome game. All right. Here's the one that I want to talk to you about today. How many of you play Fortnite? Oh, my goodness. Well, it's one of those things that's never off in our house, and we get into trouble because we have to tell our kiddos, you know, 1 hour, that's plenty. So Fortnite, who can tell me what happened not too long ago in Fortnite that was a game changer? Do you know? Do you remember? Anybody?
Lots of people started doing it.
Season 7 came around. What happened with Season 7? What part happened?
They put airplanes in the game.
What else?
Snow came.
Snow. And they did this thing called creative mode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Creative mode. Creative mode. Tell me what was so, was such a game changer? There's all kinds of stuff like that. Build anything in Fortnite, and then you can share it with friends and let them play too. Game changer, right? So this is something that's spectacular that we can say, wow, this changed the game. Do you know that story that Mr. Josh read for us earlier has an element in it that was a real game changer for us? How we catch fish. You're darn right. How we catch fish. The perspective that we have on trying to catch fish. He came to show us. And this is what Stephen was saying from his passage from Philippians that he read to us. He came to show us that in our suffering and in our hurt and in the things that we feel is really bad, he did the same things and he died to those things and then did what? Resurrected. That's the big word. Say resurrected.
Resurrected.
And he changed those things into glory, into peace, and then gave that same thing for us to do with ours. And so Simon Peter was on the boat that day and Jesus said, hey, put your nets over there. That was a game changer because he didn't do it that way. And Jesus is saying, you have the same task to turn outward, to do things the way you don't do, to take the stuff that you've got and allow God to transform it into something different so you can pass it on to others, God's love on to others so that they can find peace. That's a real game changer, don't you think? How many of you have things that you struggle with or that are hard for you? Yeah, we all do. And if we just sit in those things, like we're sitting in a boat doing the same things we do every day, and we don't allow God to say, try this with it, and then let God transform them, they just sit there and get really icky. And life gets icky too. But God can take those things and resurrect them into something new and big. And that's a game changer, don't you think? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all the stuff that you give us in life, the fun. And Lord, thanks for taking the stuff that we don't like so much and allowing it to be transformed if we allow you to transform it. So God, we pray that we would focus on a new perspective today, ability to look for you in ways we've not seen you before or considered that you are present, to look on the other side of the boat to see what you might have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Great job. Y'all can head on back. Parents, if you need to stand up to help them, it gets kind of disorienting up here if you don't. They can find you a little easier. Y'all had great insight today. Really well done. So the past couple of weeks, I've had plenty of opportunity to think about Jesus. In the midst of tragedy and grief, in the midst of being loved by a congregation, fully feeling the presence of Christ in and through you, expressions of love to our family, I can truly say that knowing Jesus is a game changer. But really allowing Jesus to change what I know about life, what I know about death, and what I know about all the things in the middle, that's been a real game changer for me. Really allowing my perspective, what I know, what I've learned, what I've expected out of Jesus to be really, truly changed and transformed by a loving God who is present in our times of anger, stress, depression, doubt, confusion, grief, and all of those things, allowing God to transform them into something bigger and better. That's a game changer. Speaking of game changer, in all my years of living, I can't think of one Super Bowl that I've missed since I started watching. Not one Super Bowl have I missed until this year. So when the sermon the Sunday after Super Bowl is entitled Game Changer, and you have no sermon illustration from the Super Bowl, it's a sad day. I guess a real game changer this year would for the Patriots to have not been in it. Otherwise, it's the same old garbage, right? This is, feel free to boo if you'd like. Who told you you could boo in church, you know? Instead of using the Super Bowl as a sermon illustration, I'm going to use my family and our trip, our first trip to Disney World as our illustration this morning. So our first trip to Disney World was full of awe and inspiration, of inspiring experiences that blew our minds and our jaws fell agape. Truly magical, as they say. I remember the kids, they were between the ages of 2 and 7. And their eyes were wide open. They were taking everything in, absorbing everything for the first time. When the characters that were larger than life came in and walked up to them, they were just aghast. They smiled and they were totally taken in by this experience. They had very few words by what they were experiencing, what they were thinking, or what they should or shouldn't experience. They just took it all in. Everything was new and everything was amazing. It was indeed magical, as they say. And this is kind of the way every day should be with us and our relationship with Christ. Otherwise, we find ourselves in a similar scenario from our story from today's passage from Luke 5 of Simon Peter and the other fishermen on the water that day. Simon thought he knew all there was to know about being a commercial fisherman on the Sea of Galilee, and most everyone would have agreed with that assessment. He had the correct and best perspective on how to bring in the fish. His experience was ordinary. He had spent a lifetime on the water fishing, and he knew when and where to fish. And he knew what he could expect or not expect most often. He was an expert. He was an expert in fishing. Then here comes the game changer, we know as Jesus. And Jesus tells him to take a different perspective on fishing. Cast your nets on the other side, says Jesus. And take a minute to note the irony here. A carpenter, an itinerant preacher, telling a professional fisherman how, when, and where to fish.
conditions weren't right to fish, and Simon knew it. It was still daylight. They had fished all the previous night and netted nothing. They were exhausted. And surely he thought, come on, Jesus, seriously. But that's how Jesus often operated in the Gospels. Told experts in certain areas of life to do things totally different or totally opposite of how they knew life to be. Even the theology of the day with the Pharisees. And I imagine that we would have responded the same way Simon did that day. Simon placed his expectations and expertise, his perspective on Jesus when Jesus told him something different that unsettled him. So he placed all that on Jesus. He blocked it all with his perspective, his experience to that point in life, his life's learning, his expertise, a very specific and particular perspective of fishing. So he had plenty of commentary, words, pushback, uneasiness, as if to try to convince Jesus that Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. You see, Jesus, we've done it this way all my life. You don't fish that way. You don't fish over there. You fish over here. You fish this way, Jesus. I know more about this than you, Jesus. My dad and my dad's dad, they taught me how to do this. We've been doing it a long time. We've done it this way a while. See, Jesus, this is how it's done, and sometimes you get fish and sometimes you don't. Don't let last night's experience discourage you. But eventually he concedes as if to say, all right, I'll do this and I'll prove to you my way is better than yours. I'll humor you, but just wait. I'm telling you, you'll see I'm right, Jesus. Odds are that Simon also thought he knew all he needed to know about how to manage his life as well, just like we do. Perhaps you've heard or used this quote before. I'd agree with you, but then, no, we'd both be wrong. I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. Have you used that one before? We do that with Jesus all the time. It's called cognitive bias. We are wired to see everything through the lenses in which we have created, or the lenses that have been fashioned for us by experience and by people in our lives, parents, friends, family, church, work, mentors, theology, all of those things. So when we face something that doesn't fit into that cognitive bias, that belief, that lens, that perspective, we look for the one thing that makes it fit into ours. If it might not be true. And if it's true, we look for all the things that make it untrue to our perspective and pin that up to prove that we're right. Then we shove this perspective into our strongly held belief, awkwardly, or dismiss it altogether. That's cognitive bias. We all have it. It's how we're wired. And today in this story, Jesus says, watch out for your cognitive bias. Be open to my perspective. Be aware of your cognitive bias and learn to break it. Learn something new about fishing. Learn something new about an old task. It's not just about what we know and what we've learned. Jesus is much bigger than that. Jesus goes well beyond all of the structured ideologies and theologies that we've created about Jesus and all that we've learned over the centuries. We've created these ironclad thoughts as to how to be a Christian, what hole to fish from, what time of day to go fishing, what type of fish we are to fish for. But often those thoughts keep us from looking inward, where our cognitive bias corrupts us. Paul refers to this as the flesh. Those thoughts protect us from truly addressing the struggles between flesh and spirit. We're all suffering from something. Insecurity, pain, damaged self-image, damaged self-esteem, grief, physical pain, loss of loved ones, And often we ignore our own humanity. And we close it into these dark places in our lives, and we live in pain and hurt rather than wrestle with it and allow Jesus to transform it through the resurrection. As Jesus transformed his pain and suffering into something greater. And the even bigger tragedy is that we allow ourselves to hurt, and we allow ourselves to self-doubt, and we allow ourselves to live in this misery and in this hurt. And the tragedy of that is that hurting people end up hurting other people. Hurting people end up hurting other people. And that's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to allow him to transform our hurt so that we might be able to help others. To allow us, to partner with us, to learn to transform our suffering so that we can move into the world, do the opposite of what our instinct tells us, to throw our net to the other side, and to move into Christ's perspective on our pain and our humanity and make something of it. And then go and alleviate suffering in the world around us. The hard part for us is that we have to learn not to live in one moment and carry that one moment, whether good or bad, with us the rest of our lives. This one perspective, this one experience, there's more than one way to catch a fish. To live beyond your perspective, to live beyond your suffering and pain, to live in a Christ perspective. So often our nature is to live and relive moments that have impacted us so much to the point that we miss out on the other significant moments in the present. Or to miss out on allowing those moments to be used for our transformation in Christ. Many of you have asked how I'm doing since my brother died. It was indeed tragic and a horrific loss. Our family's still grieving, of course. But it is one moment. One tragic moment, one experience in my life. I can't stay there. I can't live and relive that moment over and over to the detriment of growth in Christ. I've got to move on. I've got to allow that pain and suffering to be transformed into something more powerful that can relieve the pain and suffering of others. Instead, I grieve and allow God to use that experience to teach me something new about Christ's love and Christ's presence and Christ's peace that passes understanding, so that I may one day turn to the other side of the boat and pass that same peace on to those who are suffering. To alleviate the suffering of others, to bring peace on earth as it is in heaven, so that Christ may be known in a new perspective. I've used this phrase with you from time to time, and I think it applies here. Listening leads to hearing. Hearing leads to understanding. Understanding leads to empathy. Empathy leads to love, even love for our enemy. Hearing provides a new perspective for us, a Christ perspective on loving others who are unlovable, on easing their suffering through the power of Christ that has transformed ours. We have to allow God to teach us so that we can pass on the love of Christ to others. So the first trip to Disney was remarkable, full of awe and new sights. Guess what the second one was like? We walked in a little different. Not noticeably, but still different. We had immediately assigned our cognitive biases on what our experience would be. This is where Toy Story is, and that's where Woody's going to come out. Guess what? Woody didn't come out that day.
This is where Darth Vader came around the corner. Guess what? Darth Vader didn't come around the corner that day. The kids were still in awe. We were still in awe. And as Laura and I watched them, we were in awe ourselves. But that second experience, because we had assigned our expectations and our perspective on it, we missed out on some other things. Cognitive bias. In other words, you keep fishing from one spot. And when Jesus comes by, you find yourself in Simon Peter's boat saying, "But Jesus, we fished all night. That's not where the fish usually are. It's not the right time. We're all exhausted." We give Jesus plenty of excuses as to why we shouldn't do it that way. We assign perspective to our own pain instead of allowing Christ to transform it. And when we assign our cognitive bias to Christ, guess what happens? We miss out on the miracle of two boats filled with fish. And then some. The next trip just isn't the same as the first one. And so it is when you focus on the moment and surrender your perspective, your cognitive bias to Christ, that you find new insight and new strength, that you find the miracle in life that is always in your midst. If you look, if you stop and look in your trials and in your suffering, and then to turn outside and move through the world, easing the suffering of others. When you do that, miracles happen. When you work to help others in their suffering, you find peace in yours. I use this phrase often: be light and the darkness around you will fade. Be the light of Christ and the darkness in you and around you can't survive. So help alleviate the suffering in the world around you. Be the light to those in darkness by loving and serving them. And as you become light, the darkness within you and around you dissipates. And the darkness around the people you love and serve dissipates. You learn a new perspective, Jesus' way of fishing. And it's a game changer. Changes your life from the inside out. So find comfort, though. Find comfort in knowing that Jesus rarely asked people to do what they were expecting. He rarely asked people to do what they knew to do. And he'll do the same with you. Are you experiencing miracles in your life? Perhaps you need to stop convincing Jesus of your perspective and surrender your life to him. Every area of your life, including your cognitive bias. And turn your life outward towards others who are suffering, to the other side of the boat, to a different kind of fish, and see if you don't find miracles happening around you. See if you won't see people in a new light. See if you won't see yourself in a new light. When you die to self and your cognitive bias, Jesus can transform that death as he did his into life for you and into life for others. And you will find peace in your life, and others will find it in you. And then we find heaven on earth. May it be so. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we've seen this story often in our lives, if we've been in the church for a moment. So it's always interesting to find all the different things that you say in this passage to us. But God, when we connect the dots through the rest of the stories in Scripture, we can see very clearly that our ways are not your ways. And your ways transform us, and a transformed us transforms the world. So God, may we surrender to you our bias. May we surrender to you our flesh. May you work the painful work within us so that we might become more like you and others find you in us. We ask in the powerful name of Christ. Amen. We'll have a time of response as we do each week. I'll be here at the front. If you would like prayer, if you would like to make a decision public, I'll be here for that. Otherwise, sing this song. We'll sing it together. We'll call on Spirit to transform us and respond individually, because each of us need to respond every day of our lives as we allow God to transform us into Christ. Let's stand and sing.